Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When the prospects submit the form, we take the data. We look if it's a qualified prospect, because you don't want to book with everybody. If he is a qualified prospect or she is a qualified prospect, we're going to immediately find the rep who should take the call. And we can dial the rep and dial the prospect and put them in touch in real time, or bring back the calendar and say, Joe is not available right now, but here's his calendar. How about you book a time tomorrow? That does even better. It actually doubles the conversion rate on these inbounds, because all of a sudden you go from a very frustrating experience where you get this thank you page, somebody's going to call you and you have no idea when, to this very pleasant experience where you just press a button and you confirm about the demos you were asking for.
Nicholas, what did you think when Salesforce came in and bought the other two companies in the specialty that you were practicing in, and all of a sudden you were competing against Salesforce?
Well, I thought I was in trouble.
Right.
And all my angel investors just told me we were dead, right? They said, look, you have to change your business. There's no way to continue now that the big player, which was supposed to be your partner, is actually a competitor. And not only did they buy one company, but two companies that do what you do. So that's what we did. We reinvented the company. We changed the name, we changed the business, we changed the product. The only thing we kept is the same target. We went after salespeople, because that's what we thought was the big opportunity out there. It's also my passion. I love sales, I love technology, and I love technology for sales. So we proceeded to restart the company. Now, what makes it difficult is that when something like that happens, it's very hard to go back to investors, right? Because they'll say, well, why would I give you money? It looked like you just blew up $1.5 million, you know? I don't think I want to put more
on
that, right?
So what did you tell them?
I told them nothing. I say, I'm going to find a way to survive. And what we did is that we say, we're going to build a product where we can generate revenues as soon as possible. Now, of course, we had to shrink the company. By then we were about 12 people. We shrunk down to 5. And we just get all the energy it takes to build a new product and go back to market with a new product. And I was going to say fortunate, but it wasn't fortunate, because it was by design. We picked a problem that was very acute among companies, and where we could tell there was nobody, and when we could also tell that we could do it in a few months, right? So there were three conditions: that there's a problem that's resolved, there's no competitor, and it can be done quickly, because we didn't have the time to build something over 12 or 15 months. We did that. We went back to market. Actually, our first customers was in New York, a company called Greenhouse. It was to help them, help their sales team. So nowadays, companies specialize their sales teams. They have the front end that does all the prospecting, and then the people who do what's called the closing. The reason why they do that is that prospecting is very time consuming, and you can get more junior people to do it. So they had this problem that these prospect teams would get somebody on the phone, would say, hey, you want to book a meeting? And then they had to book a meeting, and it would take them 7 minutes to find the right person who should take the meeting, their availability, send the invite. So we automated that process. It was a very narrow problem. We found that problem. We asked a bunch of companies, do you have that problem? They say, well, yes, we do. We solved it with some intelligent algorithm combined with integration with calendars. We had a first customer, as I mentioned, 3 months later. Then we prospected all summer, and by October we were cash positive, right? So we were able to bring more cash than the cost of our 5 people.
That's a great story in itself, and I want to come back to that. But what you automate right now in the current company is you get clients, potential clients, a meeting with the company quicker, more quickly.
That's exactly right. We automate scheduling, yeah.
And But it's not with the person who probably prospects them just on the phone, right?
No, we do. So it's all about the automation of scheduling. The person who prospects on the phone has a single goal, is to get a meeting on the books.
For somebody else.
For somebody else.
Okay.
Right, because they specialize. So right. Let's call them the prospector and the closer.
Right.
The prospector has to get a meeting on the books for the closer.
Right.
And so it's their job. Their life is to get meetings. Actually compensated on how many meetings they book every month. Mm-hmm. So that process...
And they're quickly out. They get the meeting, which is a skill in itself. But then the closer actually...
Takes it from there.
Could take it for a long time to close.
That's exactly right.
Right.
It can take months. Yeah.
But the customer doesn't get off the hook, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. And you
don't let them go cold.
You're exactly right. That's exactly the core of the problem that we solve with Chili Piper. Originally, when you have the prospect on the phone and, okay, I'm going to book you with Joe. Joe is the closer, right? Well, you have to find Joe's calendar, when he's available.
He's not here right now, I can't ask him. Right.
Is he the right person or what should be Mary this time? So we automate that. We tell the prospector, it is Joe, here's his calendar, press that button, the meeting invite will be sent in real time. And because the meeting invite is sent in real time, the prospect on the phone get the invite and say, oh, I see that, yeah, tomorrow at 5 p.m., I'll be there.
That's impressive.
Right, that's right. We automated that process.
So the prospect is still on the phone and the meeting pops up on his screen.
That's exactly right.
That the closer will come to your office or call tomorrow.
That's exactly right. So we did that, and as you can tell, the nice thing is that you're going to increase your attended meetings because the prospects see the invite and say, oh, I got it. Could you mind accepting it? Yes, I'll accept it. And the next day they will show up. Where when you say, I'm going to send you an invite, say, well, thank you very much. You hang up, send the invite 10 minutes later, and the prospect may not see it, may not reply, may not pay attention, and you have a lot of leakage. So we've increased some companies' conversion rates on these things by more than 50%. Right, just because people don't show up and disappear.
And you've saved who knows how many chain emails.
That's right.
With everybody.
That's exactly right.
On
hey, are you not free? We've automated that process. Wow. Then we took it one step further, right. And we thought, well, sometimes the prospect comes what's called inbound, which means that they come to the company's website. And then they ask for a meeting. So you don't have somebody calling them and say, hey, do you want a meeting? You have the prospect volunteering for a meeting. And until we launch our new product, the process was as follows. The prospect will fill a form, and they will get a thank you page. Thank you, somebody's going to call you. And then you have no idea who's going to call me, when, and what it's going to be about. And companies were losing up to 80% of their leads that way. So people would just disappear. They'd ask for a demo, and then the next day, they would not answer emails. So we automated that process by building an intelligent agent that goes into the form. When the prospects submit the form, we take the data, we look if it's a qualified prospect, because you don't want to book with everybody. If he is a qualified prospect or she is a qualified prospect, we're going to immediately find the rep who should take the call. And we can dial the rep and dial the prospect and put them in touch in real time, or bring back the calendar and say, Joe is not available right now, but here's his calendar. How about you book a time tomorrow? That does even better. It actually doubles the conversion rate on these inbounds, because all of a sudden you go from a very frustrating experience where you get this thank you page, somebody's going to call you and you have no idea when, to this very pleasant experience where you just press a button and you confirm about the demos you were asking for.
What struck me as interesting earlier in your story is that when Salesforce came in and was now going to compete against what your original company did, you know, I understand you said we're not going to fight Salesforce, but you seem to immediately decide to come up with an unknown product but continue to target the same customer.
Right.
And that might have been the key.
Right.
Did you know that instinctively, or that was the whole turning point, to not go after a different demo in a different industry?
So there were three reasons for that. One is the market for sales technology to help salespeople is very large, and I could tell that this is what I wanted to be in. The second reason is that we were already in touch with these people,
right.
So that helped us identify a need that was not well served, right? Like, we were talking to these people, so we could ask them, so tell me what problem you have right now. And that's how we came up with the idea. And the third reason is that you don't want to add too many dimensions to your pivot, right? To your change. If you go from doing scheduling for salespeople to accounting software for accountants, it's going to be too much of a disruption. At least you have to have some continuity. So we figured that was a right move that was different enough that we were no longer in the line of fire of Salesforce, but close enough that it was still the sector we were after.
That is so interesting. And I also never heard anybody use the phrase, don't add too many dimensions to your pivot. That's guaranteed to fall apart. That's not going to work. It's very interesting how you did that. Yeah, so
I have the same. It's an analogy that I get from people who want to change their career. I had somebody come to me, and you know, if you want to be going from sales to product management, that's fine. If you want to go from IT industry to, I don't know, media industry, that's also fine. But what you don't want to do is do both at the same time, right? So you want to have at least one connection where you have some experience and you acquire the new experience. And it's very similar in a pivot. You have to at least have some basis. So maybe it's the same product, but you're going to sell to other people. So the product is there, you already have expertise, and you can sell it. Or the same people to sell to, but it's a different product.
Right.
But going to with a new product with new people is too much of a change and too risky.
So you went from a disaster day, and 3 months later you were up and running with a new product, but for the similar audience.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Salespeople. I just have to ask, how did you sell newspapers so successfully on the streets of Paris when you were 12? What made you such a good sales?
I was 17.
What made you such a good salesperson from the start?
For sure, the energy I put into it. I was just very enthusiastic about my newspapers. And, whoever was next to me was going to buy that newspaper. You know? I just said, you're going to buy my newspaper. So I look at people and said, that guy is going to love it if I crack a joke, I'll crack a joke. Then I look at another person who was serious and say, look, there's got to be something in my newspaper that he's going to be interested in. And so you've got to know what's on the last page of the newspaper. I just wanted these people to get my newspapers.
It's a joy to talk to you, Nicholas. Thank you very much. Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.